Today on Real Radio.
But the truth is, why would so much effort and so much money be put into the foundation? It's everything. It's what everything's built upon. You sit here in comfort. Why? There's a foundation. But it will never be known how strong it is until it shakes. Your family, your home can look great, but until there's a shaking, you'll never know. And I'm talking spiritual stuff, life stuff. I'm talking about hardship, difficulties. You'll never know.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're in a presentation called Do It Yourself. It's taken from Luke chapter 6 and the last four verses. Here's a section wherein the Messiah asks one of the most soul-searching questions found in all of Scripture. Some call this section one of the hard sayings of Jesus. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
You know, when we come to Jesus, our family members will either get so excited because they've seen such a drastic change, or they won't believe a word we say about Jesus. Have you noticed that? Jesus said it. In fact, the prophet has honor everywhere he goes, except where? His own home. I was the first one in our family to get saved, to give my life to Christ. And my big sister used to pat me on the head. That's nice for you, Jack. That's nice for you. You just go do whatever you do. Oh, you're going to buy a Bible? That's so sweet. Okay, then my brother, he would argue with me. And my dad would say, you know, whatever. And my mom would say that she was religious. But by the grace of God, over time, by the witness of others, by the witness of you, this church, by the witness of my family, God has done a work, and God did a work and wound up wonderfully saving those members of my family. But listen, I got to tell you, I look like a strapping man of faith this morning, don't I? Listen, my faith was thrashed. I remember not even praying for my sister anymore, giving up. I remember giving up praying for my dad. But you know what? It was not only the witness, though, of what God was doing in and through all of us together, because they would watch you, they would listen to you, but it was the witness of others. Regarding your family and those around you, don't give up. They're watching. Be real. But whoever calls Jesus Lord, it must be backed up by their life. Thirdly, under this point, who's going to be in control? It's going to be a reality issue. There will be a reality issue about who's going to know. Who's going to know this stuff? Verse 47 says, I will show you whom he is like. This is what the man is like. Jesus does exactly what he's been teaching us, not to condemn anybody, but to evaluate the person's life who claims to know God. Notice with me, please, that what Jesus shows us is based upon who and what the person really is. John 3:17. We all know John 3:16. But the next verse says, but God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that's an important word. Listen to what Jesus is saying to us this morning. But read the fine print. In Matthew 12:37, Jesus said, by your words you will be justified, you see, and by your words you will be condemned. That goes right back to Corinthians. What you say about Jesus being Lord, the world, God, others will be able to say, I have evaluated your claim, and your words do not match with what you say. Point number two this morning is this. Do it yourself. Are you sure? What are you going to build? Verse 48. Point number two, what are we going to be building? Jesus said in verse 48, he is like a man building a house. Okay, so that's what we're going to be building. Who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house, and it could not be shaken, for it was founded upon the rock. Number one, a home that doesn't come easy. What are we building? Church, write this down. Hey, if somebody's asleep, wake them up right now. This is important. What are we building? What does God want us to build? Are you ready for this? God has called us Christians to build a home that is not easy. So what do we mean by that? Let me explain. To build a home that is not easy, Jesus says here that the man built a house and he dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. The word here means that he dug. He had to use picks and axes and shovels, and it took a very hard, long, difficult time. He worked very hard because he dug deep. It was digging deep through the soil into the rock, and the word means that he even invaded or sunk into the rock. One of the most amazing things I have ever seen in my life, and maybe you have too, but you didn't realize it. Have you ever been to Manhattan? Manhattan Island in New York. Down, you know, Madison Avenue. Did you realize how those buildings stand up? Have you ever thought about what keeps this island from flipping over with all those tall buildings? Why doesn't it just fall into the river? Did you know that Manhattan is a big rock? It's rock. How did they ever build such tall skyscrapers? They went deep into the rock. That's an amazing thing. A home that is going to be worth living in, a home that is valuable, a home that goes beyond what it looks like in curb appeal. A strong, awesome home that will last will be a home that doesn't come easy. Any young people in here, any newly married people in here, listen up and suck it up. Can all the married people say amen to that? Suck it up, amen? Stop whining and listen. The sooner you break down your barriers of who's going to be in control and who's going to call the shots, listen, let Jesus call the shots while both of you obey him, and your marriage will go great. But the moment you back up in the corner and you got your Everlast boxing gloves on and, oh, you know, she said, he said, and you wake up in the morning, you got your Olympic prize champion shorts on, dude, you're going down. She may not knock you out. Jesus will. He'll come and he'll humble you out. It doesn't come easy. A great home does not come easy. And that's true in the physical sense, and it's certainly true in the spiritual sense. How does anyone have a great home? Have you ever looked at someone's home and admired their home? It didn't come easy. Boy, if you knew the truth, it was years of struggle, years of difficulty, years of hardship. That's what made them strong. The storms didn't knock them over. They came close. They're like weebles. They wobble, but they don't fall down. It doesn't come easy. Often the do-it-yourself centers make it sound like you can build this and one day. My wife, Lisa, I can say this. I don't think she's here right now. Lisa will say, you know, oh, look at that commercial. Go down there and get one of those things and put it up. I get it. And isn't it up yet? Have you noticed that the do-it-yourself centers just make it sound so easy? You know what I have found out? I can go to the do-it-yourself center, I can do that myself, I can drive home myself, and I can call someone to do it myself. Yeah, can you come here and do it yourself so I can watch? That's how I found out it works. And you can call someone to do it for you, and that's Jesus only when it comes to building a home. It doesn't make it any easier. The do-it-yourself mindset. To truly make something easier is to have Christ do it. 1 Corinthians 3:9, jot it down if you would, for the Bible says, for we are God's fellow workers. We are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, Paul uses the word craftsman. I have laid the foundation, another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. I love that. There's nothing easy about it. Digging deep and laying a foundation on rock is hard. Laying your life down is a difficult thing, and it can stand the test of time and storm. There are lighthouses erected on the most precarious places on earth, but they don't get swept away. When have you heard of a lighthouse being washed away? The builders planned on making it forever, and they built it on something that was not going to move. Obviously, you and I live in Southern California, the earthquake capital of the world, and we have the strictest building codes in the nation here in California. In fact, get a load of this. You see these walls right here? Some of these walls in this structure that you're in, there's three buildings. This particular building, some of these walls are in totality 45 feet high. You see, there's not a 45-foot high wall. The walls are 45 feet high. A great portion of them are underground. Did you know that? I got to watch these walls go into the ground, and it's all earthquake designed. Now, I think that's crazy. They do the best they can, but let's be honest. When the ground moves big, it's going to hurt. But they do the best they can. According now, I have to tell you, the constructor of this building said this building will be able to handle, I forget what it was, almost like a 10. Well, you know what? I know the truth about that. A 10 what? 10.0 where? Is it a 10.0 in San Francisco and it shakes down here? Or is it a 10.0 beneath our feet? It all depends on where you're at. Now watch this. You may appreciate this after I say so, but there is $1.8 million worth of concrete subterranean of these buildings. The three buildings that are here on this campus, $1.8 million of concrete you will never see. It's massive. The walls are connected to structures that are massive down there. $1.8 million of stuff you'll never see. Did they put it in? How are we going to know? Is it there? I saw it go in. I watched it. $1.8 million spent, never to be seen. Frankly, if it's in the foundation, I don't want to see it now. Just let it be. That's okay, Lord. Let it stay. But the truth is, why would so much effort and so much money be put into the foundation? It's everything. It's what everything's built upon. You sit here in comfort. Why? There's a foundation. But it will never be known how strong it is until it shakes. Your family, your home can look great, but until there's a shaking, you'll never know. And I'm talking spiritual stuff, life stuff. I'm talking about hardship, difficulties. You'll never know. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, according to the grace of God which was given to me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another one builds on it. Let each one take heed how he builds. Listen, for no other foundation can anyone lay. We read that a moment ago, but watch what happens. Stay with me. Verse 12, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, that's great, but look, or wood, hay, and straw, or stubble, each one's work will be declared, for the day of God will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one of our works, whatsoever sort it is. There is an absolute truth about us building in our families and our lives. We'll get to that in a moment. What are we going to be building? Number two, it is this, a home that is built for life. Jesus said, and when the flood arose and the streams beat vehemently, that is with great violence, against that house, and it could not be shaken. Life's difficulties and hardships, they are the storms of life that rage against us. And listen, everyone will have storms. Listen, don't tune me out with this right now. Don't. Every one of us will have hardships. You say, well, Jack, my life hasn't had anything rough yet. Yet. Here's the thing. In life, it's going to get tough. Not only is the world just that way, but God knows the greatest way to drive truth into our lives. And there's no other way. Church, listen. You can be the greatest theologian that has ever lived, and all that means is you can answer all the questions on the test. A great theologian doesn't impress anyone. What impresses people is the sweet little lady from Pasadena who trusts in the Word of God and lives day in and day out through hardships and challenges. The Word of God is not theoretical. It is not theological. It is reality and it is life. How does that happen? By taking the Bible and the promises of God through your cancer, through your child's rebellion, through your marriage and the waves and the roughness of all that, through the difficulties of financial challenges and whatever might be going on, and starting a family and raising a home. How are you going to make it? By clinging onto the promises of God. And that separates the theoretical theologian from the practical disciple. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, that is difficulty, but be of good cheer. Jesus said, I have overcome the world." Can someone say amen? Isn't that great news? Great, great news for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. No one is exempt. No one gets out untouched in life's struggles. But you can make it through with Christ. Romans 5, verse 3. Romans 5, 3 says, "And not only that, but we also glory in our difficulties, knowing that these difficulties produce perseverance, and perseverance our character. And character brings about hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit." So whenever there's a difficulty, are you going through a rough time? I can tell you this right now. You know what? You can rejoice in that difficulty. I know it doesn't feel good. You can rejoice in the difficulty because God is working within you perseverance. It's going to wind up strengthening your character. That's going to generate hope. And you are going to realize that God loves you even when it's dark, even when it's foreboding. And you'll come out on the other end so much stronger. Now, that presupposes this matters to us. And that's the danger of the age that you and I live in. We don't care about character. We don't care about hope. People don't care about character, so they rob, cheat, and steal. People don't care about hope because they can reach for a bottle or for a bunch of pills. Doctor themselves up. And that's not reality. The Word of God is absolute strength. Husband and wife, mom and dad, listen, together you're building a sanctuary at your address. You're building a sanctuary, mom and dad, husband and wife. You're building a hospital. You're building a health club, a racetrack, a castle, a classroom. You're building a training camp, a retreat, a launching pad for future generations coming out of your address to the world. Think of that. Oh, I pray, and this is one of my fears, that we don't get into this mindset of, well, I guess, you know, I grow up, I buy a house, I have kids, I live, I retire, I die. I'm afraid that America thinks like that now. Do we not have the target of achieving something eternal? Will your life and my life matter after we're gone? You say, well, you know what, who cares? Well, listen, will your life and my life matter when we stand before God? Can you and I say this morning, I'm just simply existing, and it's tough enough? That's not good. Is your life challenging? Are you on the brink, oh Lord, please, of something awesome for God? Yes, you have your job. Yes, you have your family. Yes, you have your hobbies and all that stuff. But those things technically in your heart, in your passion, your logos, pathos, ethos, really, number one is God? And everything you're doing is for the Lord? Is that the target? I pray it's your target. I was asked recently if I would consider being on a certain Christian television program. My first thought was, no way. And the Lord convicted me and said, I'm giving you an opportunity to speak truth in the light of all that stuff. Speak it. Jack, you call me Lord, Lord. Then do the things I say. Yes, sir. Why? Because he's one on our list. The third thing we see under this is, what are we going to build? A home that cannot be moved. Jesus said, because it was founded upon the rock. This is beautiful. And I want these images to stick in your mind here. It's beautiful. When he speaks about the rock, founded upon the rock, I wrote this down in my notes, and I hope it ministers to you. This is personal. Things that happen to a house or houses. And look at that thing taking that wave. I would have liked to have seen that wave before it hit. But look at that lighthouse. Is it getting wet? It's okay to get wet. But is it falling down? No, it's not going to fall down. But listen. Things that happen to houses. Isn't that a great shot? Now, I got to tell you, keep that up there for a second. You guys, See that guy in the doorway? A, he's a tremendous man of faith. B, he's an absolute lunatic. Or probably C, he had no idea that that wave was coming. His back was to it. That's huge. And I know a little bit about water like you do. He didn't have much time to shut that door because that wave would wrap around it. But did the lighthouse go anywhere? No. These thoughts entered my mind. Things that happen to houses. I'm talking about a physical house. Number one, earthquakes. We live in California. Fires. We live in California. Floods. We live in California. Winds. We live in California. Termites. Yep. Thieves. Oh, yeah. And then getting your house toilet papered. That's what happens in Southern California. That's what happens in my house in Southern California. Things that happen to houses. I can live with all that. I can recover from all of that. It's the physical stuff. You can repair and remodel. Things that happen to homes. Things that happen to homes. Carelessness, lovelessness, thoughtlessness, busyness, no more affection, no fun, no more craziness, you know? No peace, no rest. See, the other stuff you can fix. The latter list only comes from Christ dwelling in a house.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Do It Yourself, taken from the last four verses of the New Testament account written by Luke in chapter 6. Part of our journey through this New Testament narrative of Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, you've heard us talk about hischannel.com, hischannel.com. You can listen to Real Radio and view our television outreach called Journey, Journey with Jack Hibbs on hischannel.com. And by the way, we do provide a link to hischannel.com at realradioactive.org. Well, speaking of Jack Hibbs, he's here to tell us a little bit more about his channel and what's happening on Wednesday evenings. Pastor Jack?
Yeah, Mike, we are in the midst of an awesome series. In fact, it's so excellent, I believe, that we wanted to make that announcement right here on Real Radio. We are going through a special series regarding the disciplines of life. And boy, I got to tell you that just the word discipline causes people to kind of take a step back. We live in a culture today that discipline is out of the vocabulary. Discipline is not discussed. And yet without disciplines, we cannot be a disciple. The very word disciple is connected to discipline, and that is discipleship. If you're in the Southern California area, just drive on out on a Wednesday night, and we're seeing God do some pretty wonderful stuff. Let me give you a couple of titles that we're going through. It's a 31-week series, but I'll just point out a few of them. We're going to be looking at the disciplines of disappointment. Everybody in life struggles with disappointment, yet we have found out that God is in the midst of disappointment. That's where often we are taught the greatest things regarding our Christian faith. And then the disciplines of doubt, for example. Everybody struggles to some degree with doubt. And we're going to talk about the disciplines of how to overcome doubt that comes against the Christian walk. So it's a great series. If you're in the Southern California area, join us. And if you can't, you can be with us on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Pacific time, at hischannel.com.
Okay, so that's hischannel.com. Once again, hischannel.com. Or, of course, we provide a link at realradioactive.org, our website, realradioactive.org. You can also call for more information. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Of course, all of our contact information, including our mailing address, can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.